You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I am your host, Adam Miller. And as we continue with our Missions Emphasis Month, we're talking with various missionaries and ministries that are having an impact around the world. And our next guest is Peter Greer. He's the CEO with Hope International, a ministry that has a Christ-centered focus on making a difference in the world, in the areas of the world that need it the most. Peter, it is so great to have you with us to represent Hope International. Thank you so much for being a part of our Missions Emphasis Month.
Oh, thanks for having me, Adam.
Well, why don't you get us started by telling us a little bit about Hope International, because it's different than a quote-unquote mission-sending agency, but yet it's having a tremendous impact on world missions around the world. So tell us a little bit about Hope International.
It is a little bit different, but it actually, perhaps the founding story sounds familiar. After the fall of the Soviet Union, there was a church in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, that saw the needs, saw that this was an opportunity to respond with the love of Christ, and so they responded generously, and they sent shipping containers, they went on trips, they built buildings, they built churches, and it was a great, great thing to do. But something happened after that immediate response phase was over. A pastor on one of the trips pulled the group aside and said, "You know, we really appreciate your help. We're really grateful for all you've done for us, but we really need a hand up and not another handout." Now, that is a significant, significant kind of moment, and it led to the founding of Hope International, because what the church had realized is what was good and appropriate in a time of immediate crisis was actually not building the local church to stand on its own two feet for the long term. And so Hope International was born as an organization that is trying to equip the global church to help realize self-sufficiency. And we do that through discipleship, and we do it through helping entrepreneurs start small businesses. So our focus is in 16 countries around the world, and it really is trying to figure out how do we transition from a handout that is necessary in a time of crisis to a hand up so that these churches and entrepreneurs can stand on their own two feet and fulfill the mission that God has given them in their own communities.
You are in a lot of countries and having a great impact as a result. You're in Africa, you're in Asia, Europe, and Latin America. I see some of these countries listed in, like, Moldova, for instance, you know, the poorest country in Europe. These are critical places for humanitarian needs and humanitarian work. And yet, the Christians are the ones that ought to be kind of spearheading this as the ones who are providing for those needs, not the American society or not Western civilizations as a whole. This is part of the drive of what you guys are doing, is that the church is at the very core of providing for those immediate needs, correct?
That is absolutely true. And, you know, it's really interesting when we look back in the history books, when we look back at really the rise of the church and how individuals that saw the risen Savior, they responded to needs in an incredible way. And the early church was really on fire. When there were famines, it was Christians that were responding. When there was plagues, it was the Christians that were staying behind. And that is our history. People that have been marked by the love of Jesus are not fearful in going into the world's most challenging places and responding with the full force of compassion and love as we share and as we live, as we proclaim the gospel. And so that very much is at the heart of who Hope is. We want to continue that with wise and smart compassion and a focus on making sure that we're not just doing good humanitarian work, but that we are introducing individuals to the love of Jesus Christ. And so again, the way that we do that is through employment and through jobs and discipleship, but at the core is really this timeless message of individuals that have been marked by the love of Christ are the ones that run to the world's most broken places.
What I love about your ministry is that it takes on a very important principle, where we often think of missions as being something that is, setting up a stage and doing this presentation and having stadiums filled up with people so that you can have this altar call. But what you're talking about is doing ministry by being good business people that are creating jobs and creating a better environment where the gospel is affecting more than just these kind of fly by the wayside ministries that come in, they have this huge surge and they leave and they kind of fall away.
That's exactly right. And, you know, it makes me think of one of the families that we serve through a partnership in the Philippines, a woman named Dolorosa. She got access to capital, so made an investment in her business. She ended up buying some additional rickshaws so that she could provide employment to people in her community. And she said this, she said, "I simply believe it's easier to lead individuals to Jesus Christ when their stomachs aren't empty." And so she was providing jobs, she was providing employment, and she was providing discipleship and outreach. And I think that is a powerful combo, that instead of going in and having it to be some short-term moment, we want to be in these communities for the long term, walking with individuals. And when someone helps you have a job, when someone helps you have a way of taking care of your kids, you better believe there is credibility that comes when they say, "Can I tell you why we're doing this? Can I introduce you to, as good as a job is, as good as employment is, there's something even better." And so that's at the heart of who we are. We are helping provide employment, and we are earning the right to share intentionally the love of Christ in the places where we serve.
It is interesting. We're living in a culture where missions has really shifted. In my lifetime, in my ministry and life experience, working in the church and in foreign missions, I've seen the mission field kind of transition from the idea of, you know, church planting, where we always had an American missionary as the head of those churches, and we always had a church that was funded or adopted by a church in the United States that was a lifelong investment. Missions has changed to where we're doing much more that's actually improving the areas of those communities and raising up nationals to do a lot of the mission work, as opposed to it being something that is fully kind of financed by the Western world or by the United States. And we're starting to see that in the humanitarian efforts as well, where the best efforts to actually help the world are not just giving them more money, throwing them more money, but actually creating something that's sustainable for them. Talk to us a little bit about some of that transition and how you've seen it take place over the past several years.
You know, not long ago, I heard a presentation by a missions group, and they talked about how they were in this community for the past 30 years. And they said, "And we're going to continue to be in this community for the next 30 years. And it was very much a Western model of going in and meeting immediate humanitarian needs. And honestly, Adam, part of me was saddened by that. I think there's something wrong if we're not working ourselves out of a job. There's something wrong if we're not figuring out how do we help individuals stand on their own two feet so they don't need us? How do we help them start bakeries instead of relying on us to come in and deliver bread? There's something wrong if it's about us and not about empowering them." So I've got kind of the opposite vision. 30 years, I don't want to be in any of the same communities because I want the church to be strong. I want individuals, entrepreneurs to be flourishing. And so that's a different definition of success that says our goal is to work ourselves out of a job. But the other thing that I love that you mentioned is really the shift and perhaps a healthy understanding of some of the strengths but also limitations of a Western approach to missions. And again, similarly, the church has taken root in so many parts of the world, and I celebrate, just Hope International as an example. The vast majority of our employees are individuals that love the Lord with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and are loving their neighbors, and we provide some support, we provide some structure, but it is about the nationals reaching out to their communities, and they are far better equipped, far more capable to do this ministry than anyone that we could think about sending in. But the other thing that I think has been fascinating over the past few years is recognizing that work is a gift. And I was in one close context. I was with a group of leaders. They knew we are a Christian organization. They knew the work that we do. But because we were going into the marketplace, because we were helping to create jobs, they were doing a pitch. to try and get us in, to try and convince us that we should expand into their region. And so here is someone who's hostile to Christianity, but knows that what we are offering is something that they value in jobs and economic development. And so they're saying, we know you're believers, we want you in here anyway. And I think that's a powerful invitation when again, you're going in and you're offering goods and services that people want and need, and you're doing it in such a way that you're not, it's not necessary to in any way change who you are at the very core.
We also are living in a culture where even secular people have this passion for humanitarian work, and it seems that a lot of companies, without naming any, that try to do a lot of combined humanitarian work. You buy our product, we provide our product for those who are in these poor countries. But what we're really doing is we're impacting those countries to where they can't create their own industry. They become dependent upon our industry. And it doesn't actually help those countries in the long run, but yet it makes us feel good when we're purchasing those products that are then helping those other countries around the world. I think in some ways, Christians have, with your ministry and others like it, have come alongside and says, no, we got to do better than just satisfy our itch to actually help the world. We actually have to do something that actually works and creates results. And you talk a lot about this when it comes to microfinance. Can you explain a little bit about how that works for our listeners?
Yeah, I think that if you want to love someone, one of the first things that you should do is listen to them. And when I have traveled around the world, and when I have sat in dirt homes, when I have sat around in places of great poverty, and when I ask them, hey, what really is it that you want? What are your dreams for the future? You know what I've never heard? I want to be the recipient of charity forever. No one ever says that. They talk about they want a job. They want the opportunity to provide for their employment. They want to be their children's sponsors. They don't want someone else to do it. They want to figure out how do we find a way so that families can be families and can take care of their needs. And that comes through a job. And so the way that we do it is we provide training, we provide financial literacy training, we provide from a biblical perspective a different way of thinking about entrepreneurship and about the skills that are necessary. We provide a place for people to start saving their money. We provide investments for them to start or expand a small business. And so it's really about how do we unleash entrepreneurship with people that have been created in the image of God, that have worth and capacity, and don't need our pity long-term as much as they need our partnership to simply stand on their own 2 feet. And again, I think that this is, the way that I read Scripture, is early on, right, opening pages, we see that God created us in His image, and God is a creative God. And so many individuals around the world, again, they just need to have a little bit of help, a little bit of support, and they can do incredible things as they use their God-given creativity to provide opportunities for them to take care of their family.
I want to find out how you got involved in this ministry specifically. Like, what was it that drove you to be missions-minded in this way and to lead the ministry that will help people in the way of microfinancing and providing jobs and also supporting the church and the work that they're doing around the world?
I grew up as a pastor's kid in Massachusetts, and I had the incredible privilege of going on short-term missions trips, and they were life-changing. Kind of your eyes are open to the needs that there are around the world. Your relationships form with incredible leaders and missionaries and individuals doing great work around the world. And what I found, though, is that sometimes it felt like we were just going in and doing the same thing again and again and again. And I think that's part of kind of my own story was actually discovering when we would go in and do a work project that there were individuals within the community that were watching us work and that wanted to work. And that kind of changed your mind when you're painting a wall and you look over and you see people that are hoping that you do a bad job so they could be hired to do it when you leave. I mean, that starts to change your perspective. And so I had this interest in missions. I had this interest in entrepreneurship. And then I heard about this tool, this growing tool that was equipping the church to become self-sufficient by using tools of entrepreneurship, by using a way of establishing relationships so the hope of Christ could be shared. It resonated. I was actually in Russia when I first experienced it, and I've had the great privilege of not really doing anything since then. I've done it in a lot of different parts of the world, but thoroughly believe if you can see someone have their heart transformed by the gospel, and you can see them use their God-given gifts and abilities in meaningful work, communities, families, nations are changed.
One of the things I really appreciate about Hope International is that it takes that holistic understanding of how the gospel works and affects our lives, where we often relegate it to a specific act of conversion and salvation, and we leave it for the church. We don't see it as that aspect of how it affects the world in which we live. And yet a Christ-centered approach, as your ministry has, is going to see that it's not only about building up the church, but it's about having that impact that we see throughout the Bible with the story of Daniel and Joseph, where they had a tremendous impact in the world in which they lived. And the whole world recognized, as we see in the Sermon on the Mount, that their good works were worthy of praise to God.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And I can tell you that one of the greatest joys of my life has been in this work, traveling around and meeting modern-day people that have had their hearts transformed by the gospel and are doing incredible work. On a recent trip to Rwanda, I got to meet a woman, Anasita Zia, and she was an elderly woman. She was blind. She had lived through the horrors of the genocide, and yet here she is. She had been able to access capital. She got a loan, and she was able to build onto her homes. She was renting out rooms. She was able to get to expand her farming, and she said this. She said, "I may be old." She said, "I may be blind, but I'm not going to beg. My family is not going to see my bag. I'm going to provide for them." And so here she was, standing tall, providing for her family in rural Rwanda, and there was dignity. There was joy in her, not only with a changed heart, but also with a changed life, as she was, again, not dependent on someone else's charity, but really thriving as a provider for her family.
Well, it's a remarkable ministry. We have been talking with Peter Greer, who is the CEO of Hope International, a ministry that is making a difference through the lives and individuals of missionaries and nationals to further the gospel, but also to have that gospel impact in the world and the communities in which they are living. If you'd like to find out more information about Hope International, about Peter Greer, please head over to our website at songtime.com. We have a page just for them and their ministry. And Peter, thank you so much for talking with us, for sharing with us a little bit more about Hope International and the impact that it's having to those who need to hear the gospel, but yet often don't have a chance because we're not able to support and to finance and to do all of the work. But here we're seeing it happening as your ministry supports those who are doing the work that are on the ground.
It's been a great privilege to be with you. Thanks so much, Adam.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.